Hello to all my friends at Queen of the Miraculous Metal. This is the King of Queens, Father Tim MacDonald, coming to you from my office across the street from the church in the former convent that is now where I sit and plan out all the events that have just been canceled due to COVID-19, what we have now come to know as the coronavirus. As I speak to you, it is Thursday, March the 19th, the Solemnity of St. Joseph. But the first time in the history of our country, all 177 Roman Catholic dioceses in America and so many others in 130 countries across the world are shut. There was no Mass today, save for private Masses being offered by priests and bishops all over the world, praying for the intercession of St. Joseph, the universal patron of the Church, that one day soon we may find a vaccine, a treatment, and a cure for this disease that has changed our way of life. We certainly want to pray tonight for those who are waiting test results, those who are ill at home or in hospital, and all those medical personnel and first responders who risk their lives to protect them. We certainly pray for our community, our state, our country, and our planet, that the Lord may provide everyone on this earth healing, hope, and help. How are you coping with the coronavirus and this isolation? For me and my cat, who is just here at the foot of the desk, we've surrounded ourselves with cat food, of course, but a lot of Clorox wipes, hand sanitizer, and since it is a solemnity, it always helps to have a little bit of Irish whiskey on hand if the mood should strike you. But in the meantime, we still have each other and our ability to pray for one another and to pray for a swift end to this crisis that is sweeping over the whole world. Of the many things that have gotten canceled in recent days around Queens were our Lenten simple suppers on Wednesday evenings. Those are becoming a great success, and I'm so thankful for the many that attended our first two sessions on Pope John Paul II and on Thérèse of Lisieux. This past Wednesday, yesterday, March the 18th, I was to speak about Blessed Solanus Casey, Michigan's very own, featured in the stained glass windows that appear on the stairwell landing in the new entrance of the Queen of the Miraculous Metal Church. Well, just because a little virus like coronavirus, COVID-19, has closed down the Lenten Simple Suppers, that doesn't mean that we still can't learn about this inspirational blessed whom we pray will one day be a canonized saint of the Catholic Church. Perhaps some of you attended, back in November of 2017, the Beatification Mass of Solanus Casey held at Ford Field in Detroit. It was a rainy day just like this one, and 66,000 people were in attendance. Well, in this talk this evening, we're going to learn more about Barney Casey, who would go on to become Blessed Solanus Casey. He is, after all, the porter of St. Bonaventure's, a humble holy man that worked just an hour away from here, but changed the lives of countless thousands forever. And so now, I invite you to sit back and enjoy while we learn about Blessed Solanus Casey. Solanus Casey was born on November the 25th, 1870, on a farm in Oak Grove in western Wisconsin, bordering the Mississippi River. His Irish immigrant parents named him Bernard. His friends called him Barney. Barney was the sixth child in a family of 10 boys and 6 girls. If you're doing the math, that is 16 children. After he left the family farm as a teenager, Barney Casey went from job to job, looking for his place in the world. He was part of many different trades in his youth. He worked in Wisconsin and then in Minnesota, first as a logger, then as an orderly in a hospital, for a short time as a prison guard, and then his great adventure as a streetcar operator. When Solanus was 21 years old, working on a streetcar, he saw a drunken man assaulting a woman on the street. This arose in Barney a sense of wanting to do something with his life that would help other people and make this world a better place. Barney entered the St. Francis Seminary in Milwaukee in the year 1896 to study for the diocesan priesthood. Like St. John Vianney, the patron of parish priests, more than a century before him, Barney was a lot older than the other seminarians, and he just wasn't as smart and had great difficulty with the studies. Since he was an English-speaking Irishman studying in a German-speaking school, Barney had a very tough time right from the start. His superiors dismissed him. They told him to leave and suggested instead that Barney was more suited for the religious life in a monastic community. Barney decided to join the Capuchin Order of Franciscans in 1897 in Detroit, and he took as the religious name Solanus. No more would he be known as Bernard Barney Casey. Unfortunately for Solanus, the Capuchins were also German-speaking. This led him to have even more difficulties with his studies toward the priesthood. Solanus' superiors decided, with his acceptance, that he would be ordained but not allowed to hear confessions or give homilies at Mass. This is called being ordained simplex. This designation no longer exists in the Church. You are either a priest with full faculties to preach and hear confessions, or you aren't a priest at all. Solanus became a priest when he was ordained on July the 24th, 1904. Father Solanus spent 20 years in the New York City area working in Yonkers, the Lower East Side of Manhattan, and then in Harlem. For 14 of those years, Solanus was the porter, the man who answered the door at the monastery in Yonkers. Being a porter would be his job wherever Father Solanus went for the rest of his life. First, he greeted people who came to see others, but eventually, people came to the door just to talk to him. Father Solanus was so kind and gentle. Even though he was forbidden to preach at Mass, many lives were changed forever by the passion with which Solanus spoke to guests and visitors about the love and mercy of God. No matter where they moved Solanus to, more and more people would find him and seek him out. Eventually, they came by the busload. In 1924, Solanus was transferred to St. Bonaventure Monastery in Detroit, where he worked for the next 20 years. Every Wednesday afternoon, Solanus conducted well-attended services for healing of the sick. One of his co-workers estimates that on the average day, 200 people came to the door to see Father Solanus in the porter's office. Many of them came to receive his blessing. Countless others came to consult him about a problem they or someone they love was experiencing. Many people considered Solanus instrumental in cures and other blessings he received. Solanus constantly showed his love of God by loving all of God's people. However, like his models, Jesus and the beloved deacon, St. Francis of Assisi, Father Solanus would often say, "I have two loves, the sick and the poor." Father Solanus' sense of God's providence inspired many of his visitors. "Blessed be God in all his designs" was one of Father Solanus' favorite expressions. His superior made him record all the miracles and healings experienced through his intercession, and these accounts can still be read and studied today. The many friends of Father Solanus helped the Capuchins to begin a soup kitchen to feed the hungry during the Great Depression. And Capuchins are still feeding the hungry there today. These, after all, were the poorest days of the 1930s, and times were tough for so many. Father Solanus was always ready and willing to listen to anyone, any time of the day or night. In return, he asked people to develop their own spiritual lives by growing in love of God and neighbor, and to especially support the work of the missions. In 1945, Father Solanus returned to New York for 1 year at St. Michael's in Brooklyn. Then he was assigned to Huntington, Indiana from 1946 to 1956. When he was in the last year of his life, he came back to St. Bonaventure in Detroit. During his final illness, Blessed Father Solanus Casey remarked, "I'm offering my suffering that all might be one. If only I could see the conversion of the whole world." His last conscious act was to sit up in bed and say, "I give my soul to Jesus Christ." Blessed Father Solanus Casey died at the St. Bonaventure Monastery in Detroit on July the 31st, 1957. He was 86 years old. An estimated 20,000 people passed by his coffin before his burial from St. Bonaventure's in Detroit, where you can still go and pray at his tomb today. At his funeral mass, the Capuchin provincial Father Gerald said this of Blessed Father Solanas: "His was a life of service and love for people like me and you. When he was not himself sick, he nevertheless suffered with you and for those who were sick. When he was not physically hungry, he hungered with people who were. He had a divine love for people. He loved people for what he could do for them and for God through them." In 1960, a Father Solanas Guild was formed in Detroit to aid Capuchin seminarians. By 1967, the Guild already had more than 5,000 members. Many of them were grateful recipients of Solanas' practical advice and his comforting assurance that God would not abandon them in their trials. Solanas Casey was made venerable by Pope St. John Paul II in the summer of 1995, and his recall was beatified right here in Detroit on November the 18th, 2017. I would like to share with you before I conclude a story about one of the miracles that is attributed to Blessed Solanas Casey. So many have their own stories to tell. This one appeared on a Catholic blog written by Patty Armstrong, and it's entitled "Father Solanas Casey is Still Working Miracles." How does a lowly man who died 60 years ago gather a crowd of 66,000 for his beatification? Patty Armstrong tells us this inspiring story. "I'm on the road with my husband, Mark, headed to Detroit for the beatification of Father Solanas Casey. When Mark and I met in the Peace Corps over 30 years ago, we said we were going to become writers together, although at that time it was just a hobby. Now I write full-time, and we are both writing about Father Solanas on the occasion of his beatification. When we met, neither of us could have imagined the world as it is today. But in this age of self-aggrandizement, God has lifted up the simple, humble Father Solanas for the world to see what real success is. For how does a lowly man who died 60 years ago gather a crowd of 66,000 into a stadium for his beatification? Father Solanas' gift of miracles and prophecy attracted thousands, and his gentleness and love comforted all who came to see him, miracle or not. It seems everyone knows of Father Solanas also knows at least one story of a miracle attributed to his counsel and intercession. The miracles have never stopped. That brings me to a story about Beth Houle. I met Beth at a friend's prayer group several years ago while I was visiting family in Michigan. She is married and has 5 children. Her parents were among the founders of the Father Solanas Guild, which opened in 1960 to further his cause for canonization. Both of Beth's grandparents knew Father Solanas. In 1940, when her dad was 12 years old, his neighbor, Detroit Tigers second baseman Charlie Gehringer, had given him tickets to a game. The boy broke his vocal cords cheering so loudly for the home team. Specialists determined that the damage to the vocal cords was permanent and that he would never speak above a whisper again. His mother brought him to see Father Solanas, who said his voice would get better on the car ride home. It did. Beth said, "When my mother was born, Father Solanas visited my grandmother in the hospital and told her to name her Dolores for the 7 dolorous sufferings of the Blessed Mother. Dolores grew up and married, and after a difficult labor for their 2nd child, the doctor told her never to have more children or she could end up in a wheelchair. Dolores was devastated because she wanted a large family." Beth said, "My grandmother asked Father Solanas to visit Dolores. Dolores, why are you crying?" Father Solanas asked when he walked into her hospital room. When he heard why, he told her not to worry. Father Solanas said, "You will have 5 more children and never end up in a wheelchair." And so it was. Beth first began praying to Father Solanas, joining with family and friends when she was 6, and her 5-year-old brother was not expected to live through the night after suffering burns over most of his body in a tragic fire. If you are in heaven, why don't you ask Jesus to let Billy live? Beth pleaded. Her brother got better. I began building a relationship with Father Solanas after that, she said. Beth's mother had often called him Brother Leo. He had served as a secretary to Father Solanas. She asked him to bring Father Solanas' relic of the True Cross and meet her at the hospital and pray for Father Solanas' intercession. One day, Beth's cousin and three children were in a bad car accident. The oldest daughter was airlifted to the University of Michigan Hospital, but the two younger girls, who were only eight-year-old twins at the time, were too weak to be transferred. They were on life support and not expected to live. My mother was in bad health by then and asked me to call Brother Leo to bring the relic to the little girls to bless them. Here's a picture of the relic right there. Blessed Solanas Casey's relic of the True Cross, to which he attributes so many miraculous cures. Sadly, the oldest girl died. After Brother Leo came and blessed the twins, both of them began to recover. They grew up, graduated from college, and are now in their mid-20s. Beth explained, "From that point on, people began asking me to come with the relic and pray. I would bring Brother Leo because he was so saintly himself." However, as Brother Leo's health began to fail, Beth called on Brother Richard. 5 years ago, they walked into a very tragic story. Rose Cipriano and her son, Salvatore, were unresponsive and on life support. An adopted son who was on drugs had beaten them with a baseball bat. The father was killed in the attack. The two youngest children hid in a closet. Beth's son had gone to Catholic Central High School with Salvatore. She obtained permission to go to the hospital with Brother Richard. "We went first to Rose's room," Beth said. Brother Richard blessed her, and every time he said Father Solanas' name, Rose's eyes fluttered. The nurse kept asking him to say the name again, and every time, Rose's eyes continued to twitch. After several minutes, they went to Salvatore's room. The nurse pointed out there was only minimal brain activity on the monitor. The left side of his body had an involuntary twitch. There was no movement on the right. Two cousins were in the room, and they called Salvatore's name, but got no response. Brother Richard put the True Cross relic on Salvatore's forehead. "Sal, this is Brother Richard," he said. "I think you've been down to the center with your class. I just want to give you a blessing with the relic of Father Solanas." Brother Richard blessed Salvatore repeatedly, but nothing happened. "It's time for you to leave now," the nurse finally said. Beth was sorely disappointed. There had been a long string of coincidences to get permission to come at all. "Why would you have me bring Father Solanas' relic if nothing is going to happen?" she asked God. Then she felt heat going through her whole body. "It was overwhelming," she said. "I felt something was coming." "Salvatore, you just got blessed with the relic of the True Cross that Father Solanas used to bless people with," she told him. "But we have to go now," she said. At that moment, Salvatore picked up his right hand as if to wave, and suddenly the monitor showed brain activity once again. Beth then heard a weak voice say to her, "There will be a change in Salvatore in 3 complete days. 3 days later, Salvatore could open his eyes, and his improvement was nothing short of miraculous. His voice has not returned. However, he uses a device to communicate. Rose and Salvatore were at the Beatification Mass and asked people to pray for Sal's full healing of his vocal cords in return. The adopted son that we mentioned before, Tucker, he's in prison now. Beth said a relative of hers who did prison ministry was told by Tucker that he is very sorry and prays the rosary and reads the Gospel of John every day. The Cipriano story is dramatic, but Beth said she has seen many unexpected recoveries. "Each case is very special, and each one miraculous," she said. "Even if they don't recover, you know that God is doing some work there, and he's doing it through Father Solanas Casey." And so, my friends, thus concludes our reflections on the life and times of Michigan's beatified Solanas Casey, the one we hope we someday will be referring to as saint. We need to turn to Him for His prayers. Since our whole country, our whole world needs a miracle, perhaps He can scrounge one up for us. Just as I mentioned that we have a stained glass window of Solanus Casey on the landing of the stairwell in the new entrance of the church, it is also the case that sometime later this year, along with several other statues that are being hand-carved in Italy, we expect to take delivery of a statue of Blessed Solanus Casey that will adorn our church to help remind us that if this humble son, sibling of 15 brothers and sisters can become a saint, then certainly there is hope for the rest of us as well. Just to show how the coronavirus has spread so far worldwide, all of the statues that generous donors have paid for that were to be made to come to the Queen's Church, well, they were all being carved in northern Italy, in the very same Lombardy region that's now being the hardest hit by the coronavirus in that country. So we pray for those particular artisans who have had to stop work and abandon their workshop to shelter in place with their families. We pray for our Holy Father who walks the abandoned streets of Rome visiting churches where people cannot come and pray. And we ask Blessed Solanus Casey to heal our church, our community, our country, and our world. Pray with me. O God, I adore you. I give myself to you. May I be the person you want me to be, and may your life and your will be done in me today. I thank you for the gifts you gave Father Solanus. If it is your will, bless us with the canonization of Father Solanus, so that others may imitate and carry on his love for all the poor and suffering of our world. As he joyfully accepted your divine plans, we ask you, according to your will, to hear our prayers for the healing of our community, state, country, and planet from the COVID-19 coronavirus. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And as Father Solanus Casey was so fond of saying, blessed be God in all his designs. And since I won't be able to bless you in church anytime soon, I'll provide you my blessing now. Let us pray. Lord, mighty God, we come before you standing at the foot of the cross. We stand on Calvary with your Son, knowing that one day we will be with him in victory. We ask your blessing upon our entire parish family and all the families of our Queen's Parish and School. We pray for all the residents of Jackson City and County, the state of Michigan, the United States, and countries all over the planet, now numbering more than 130 nations, all battling a common enemy, this virus that seeks to destroy us. We pray, Lord, that you may help doctors and nurses and researchers to find a vaccine, a treatment, and a cure. Please bless and give strength to those who work so tirelessly for the care of the sick and the suffering. Still and calm the hearts of those awaiting test results and those who have just found out they are positive, and all those who live in constant fear that if they go out, they might come home sick. We pray for the countless thousands who are self-isolating, social distancing, those who are under quarantine, whether voluntary or forced under penalty of law. We pray for our nation's leaders and leaders all over the world, that in divisive times, this crisis may unite us at the foot of the cross, so that one day we may pass through heaven's gate together. Please, Lord, send the help of our patron saints and guardian angels and all the armies of heaven, especially on the solemnity of Saint Joseph, that holy man chosen to be the foster father of your Son and our Savior. And of course, that you might be blessed in all your designs, give us the help and the intercession of Father Solanus Casey, that one day he may be a saint. We pray one day we may be as well. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So be strong out there, people. We'll get through this with God and standing together. Hopefully, we'll see you in the Queen's Church soon.